Good to see everybody. For those of you who don't know, we've got a new PA system, which we love. You can hear all sorts of things on it, but my voice usually goes through brick without a PA system, so I've got to get used to it and get it adjusted just right. We've got a number that are visiting with us today. We hope that you feel very welcome here. We're a privilege. We have 16 of our visitors, I think, are heading down to Mexico to work on building a house just about 40 miles south of Del Rio. This is a great time of the year to go to Del Rio. It's not real touristy right now in July, so we hope that you will have a successful time and pray that your work there will also be successful for God. But appreciate what y'all are doing. Good to see each one of you here. If you didn't know, we're having a dinner right afterward. If you can stay for that, please do. I feel kind of bad. We've got 16 sack lunches for those that are heading to Del Rio. But if you're overcome by the smells of the potluck, y'all stay with us for that, and we'll send you the sandwiches anyway to go along with that. But again, if you can stay for that, please do. And right after that, we'll have our second worship of the day. So if you can, please plan on staying for this day of worship and fellowship both. I want to talk about the basics today. I don't know what you think of when you hear the phrase fundamental Christianity, but a lot of times when we hear the word fundamental, it kind of turns us away, as if it's something that is going to be legalistic, or as if it's something that's going to have an unloving aspect to it. But in fact, when we talk about the fundamentals, we're talking about the basics. We're talking about the basics of what God wants us to know, the basics of our service, and how He expects us to live before Him. When we do anything in life, we really start with the basics and hopefully appreciate that. I would never talk about somebody who's an architect in a sliding way by saying they're a fundamental architect, as if that was something that was bad, or talk about somebody who is in the NBA as being having good fundamentals, as if there was something inferior to that, or somebody that was a musician as being just one of those fundamental singers because they had focused so much on the notes. We see the importance for fundamentals, hope. We had the privilege of going down and seeing our grandchildren yesterday evening. They were having a celebration for our newest one that whose adoption just went through into the family, and so there was a bunch of family and friends there, and Dylan, for those of you who have been praying for him, is part of our family now and always will be, and we're excited for that, and we appreciate your prayers. But Dylan's about 15 months old, and Dylan is just now learning to walk. It has taken him a little bit longer, and one of the reasons, I suspect, was because when he was born, he was stillborn, according to the records that were given to AJ and Miranda. As a matter of fact, for 2.5 minutes, he didn't breathe. And so it's something of a testament to God's power that he's even here and able to start walking right now. He's had to go through the crawling stages and the hand-eye coordination and the standing up and all the basics. And I never look at my grandchildren and in some kind of a snooty way say, oh, they're just going about walking fundamentally, as if it was something bad. Now, our granddaughter, Macy, on the other hand, I think had her Nikes laced up when she came out of the womb. And she runs everywhere. And the thing about Macy, now that she's a little over two, is we don't have to go back through the fundamentals of walking again with her. She's learned how to do it, and she has certainly advanced to the point of running, to the point of which this 59-year-old grandfather has a really, really hard time keeping up with her, and I don't think I could if she didn't want me to. So, but we understand that you leave the fundamentals behind and you move on to other things. And when I say leave the fundamentals behind, I don't mean that you stop using them. She still puts one foot in front of the other, but she doesn't go to relearn them all the time. When we talk about our faith, there are some things that are very important to our faith. We have to first hear the word. We're told in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Unless we hear the word of Christ, we cannot have a proper faith. what we may have may be a superstition, it may be trusting in men or something else, but unless it's hearing the words of Christ, it's by definition not faith. So when we hear the message, that's where it comes from, and hearing the message, from that comes our faith, and our faith will cause us to do certain things. We're told that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're told that when the Apostle Paul was commanded to be baptized, he was asked, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins," calling on his name until he could possibly confess the fact that Jesus is Lord, as Romans 10, verse 10 says, and believe in his heart that God had raised Christ from the dead. He couldn't do that properly. But first, he had to hear and he had to believe. These are the fundamental steps. We mentioned he was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, but in Acts chapter 2, they were told to repent and be baptized. So there's no reason to be baptized until the repentance has come. But we're told that when all these things come together, when we have all these fundamentals, that we have the forgiveness of our sins, that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not the miraculous gifts of speaking in tongues and healings and the other things they had in the first century church, but talking, then that Holy Spirit, that miracle came by it descending upon the people, but that which is received after the obedience to the gospel. But once they had done that, they were raised to walk in newness of life, and that's what we're doing now, hopefully, for all who are Christians. We leave the fundamentals behind, not that they're no longer part of us, but we move on to something else, that which God created us for, because he created us to serve. And if we spend all of our time with the fundamentals, then we're going to miss that fact. Hebrews chapter 5 now in verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we'll do so. What's the writer of Hebrews talking about? Leaving behind repentance and faith and baptism and the laying on of hands, talking about those miraculous gifts I assume they had in the first century. Resurrection from the dead. What are we told? If Christ didn't raise from the dead, then we're to be pitied above all men. We're putting our whole hope in the resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. We're still looking forward to that. So why are we to put that behind us? He's not saying to forget about it as far as just to act as if it never happened. But he's saying once you have done these basic things, now it's time for you to live. Once Dylan and Macy were born, it was time for them to live. The prenatal stuff was over. Getting them into the world safely was over. Now it's time for their life. Just because they were born doesn't mean their life was ended and everything was done. Their life's just beginning. And yet so often, because we focus so much on the fundamentals, which are important to do, but we forget to move on to what we were called to do in the first place, to serve God, to help others, to bring God, the gospel, to a lost world. It's so critical. And again, we're not talking about divorcing ourselves from the fundamentals. But we're talking about now taking that and building on the foundation that we have. When I teach basketball to kids, I start off by teaching them about their pivot foot. We walk around in circles as if our foot is nailed to the ground because they cannot begin to dribble properly, they cannot pass properly, and they cannot shoot properly unless they learn that. But those really, once you get past the pivot foot, those are the three things that make up basketball: dribbling, shooting, and passing. And if you're on defense, trying to stop them from dribbling and stop them from shooting and stop them from passing. But you use these fundamentals to play basketball. When we look at the NBA, we don't just go and watch them and say, man, this guy can dribble, this guy can shoot, this guy can pass. They play a game. It's the game we root for. It's the competition that we root for. They are learning these things for a purpose. When you learn music, you start with the scales, do you not? I don't know much about music. Anybody who's ever been around me understands that, but I did watch The Sound of Music. I know about Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, and Do, and I know you start at the very beginning because that's a very good place to start. The fundamentals are important. You don't have Beethoven's Fifth Symphony without these notes, nor do you have the more important classical works like You Ain't a Nothing But a Hound Dog. You have to have all these things in order to be able to do and use them for what you're trying to do. Beautiful music, depending on what your opinion of beautiful music is. But again, you have to have the notes. I was talking to David, a gentleman that's going down to Mexico in just a little bit, and he was talking about mathematical principles. I could have stayed and talked to him all day about that. There's not too many people that enjoy talking about math, but I do. And so it was nice. But you know, math is essentially four things. It is addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And you learn these four things really early. Now, before you can learn those things, you have to learn the 10 numbers, 0 through 9. But once you've got those and you learn how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, then you can learn the other things. You can learn algebra. You can learn geometry. You can learn trigonometry. You can learn calculus. You can do these things, and you can make a really cool bridge or a beautiful building. But without the fundamentals that got you to that point to be able to do that advanced mathematics, you don't have a bridge or a building. And without the fundamentals, you're not a Christian, nor can you serve as a Christian. We've done some very basic things in worship as we read about the fundamentals in the New Testament. We have from commands and from example, we know that they sang, we know that they prayed, we know that they gave of their means on the first day of the week. We know that they heard teaching and preaching on the first day of the week, and we know that they gathered on the first day of the week to break bread. Once you have those fundamentals down, though, then you can hopefully put them together into a worship that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Without the fundamentals, how pleasing can you be to God? And so we understand that the writer, the inspired writer of Hebrews, is not saying to ignore these things, but he's saying to move on to that which you were created for. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 4, God has Jeremiah the prophet talk to the people about how they missed the fundamentals and then they were no longer able to serve him. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 4. He gives this instruction to the prophet. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. When a man falls down, when men fall down, do they not get up? When a man turns away, does he not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit. They refuse to return. I've listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. No one repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Each pursues his own course like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, the thrush observe the time of their migration. But now notice this. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. You ever been around a stork or an ostrich? How's that? God didn't give an ostrich just an awful lot of common sense, but an ostrich knows the basics of what it's supposed to do. And yet he talks about these animals that don't have reason, or at least great reasoning capacity within them, and God points out they know what to do. But then he talks about the culmination of his creation, those who were created in his own image. Then he says, my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. They didn't even know what the basics were. So, is that a big deal? Verse 8, how can you say we're wise, for we have the law of the Lord, when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? One of the reasons that we, each one individually, need to be so careful and conscientious of our duty to find the will of God by reading His Word is there's a lot of lying scribes in this world. Some who want nothing more than your money. Some who want nothing more than power. But there are also those who are very sincere who have been affected by the lying scribes. They have bought into that and they believe the error with which they're teaching. And yet that's still unacceptable to God. How can you say we're wise for we have the law of the Lord when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? In order to be pleasing to God with the fundamentals, we need to handle them correctly. That's why we go back to the basics. The wise will be put to shame, God further says. They'll be dismayed and trapped since they've rejected the word of the Lord. What kind of wisdom do they have? This is one of the things I think we all need to spend a little bit of time thinking about. We're busy. How many moments during the day do you actually stop and think about something deep, about what you're here for, about whether you're on the right path or not, about what you are doing, whether or not what you're doing is pleasing to God? In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, just backing up a couple of chapters, this is what the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." Most people will not stop, look at the Word of God, and say, what does that mean for me? How do I need to live because of that? How do we know that most people won't do that? It's because in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Wide is the path, and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter thereby. But narrow is the path, and small is the gate that leads to life, and few enter therein." Speaking of math, when you're talking about the same population, many is more than few. And yet many will take the broad path that leads to destruction. Why? Is it because God has somehow been confusing in His Word? We know that's not true. The one who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son is in no way going to be confusing or tricky to those whom He wants to be saved. So we've got to stop and we've got to stand at the crossroads from time to time and look and think about what we're doing. I love Psalms chapter 1. It talks about the man who meditates on the law of God day and night. It's something he carries with him. It's not that it's always open in front of him as he's going about his daily chores, but it's on his heart. He's thinking about it. My boss wants me to do this. What does God's Word say about this? I want my employee to do that. What does God's Word say about this? What does God's Word say about the type of language that I'm surrounding myself with or the conduct that I'm conducting myself with? We think about God's Word day and night. We meditate on it. We stand at the crossroads and look. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 puts it really plainly. This is the Apostle Paul talking. And he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." That may be offensive to some people. But God is having Paul pass along this commandment. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Now, I might like looking at that passage and say, that means you need to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. But he's saying to me, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. That's what I do for my life, and that's what you do for your life. And we only have one thing with which to have the right answers for to pass that exam. And so we compare this to our lives. Am I in the faith or not? Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. That's why it's so important. Those who are in Christ are going to heaven. But those who are not in Christ, those who do not have Christ in them, fail the test. They're on the wide path, even if they feel like they're on the narrow path. And so we have to think about these things. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Peter, while he's telling us to move beyond the basics, also tells us to keep those as far as the basics of the Word with us. He says this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice. and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Oh, would our lives be different if we didn't slander other people? You know what slander is? Slander is saying something that's just not true. We may think it's true. Gossip is slander. Gossip, we might say, well, what I was passing along was true. It may have been true, but was it good for them? Was it best for their soul? Get rid of all malice and all deceit. That means deceiving ourselves as well. Hypocrisy. Well, nobody loves a hypocrite, do they? But we all are hypocrites. Envy and slander. And then he tells us how we can get rid of this sin. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk. He's talking about the Word, isn't he? So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You take the basics, you take the fundamentals, and you use to mature and to grow and to serve that purpose for which God has put you here. That last passage we want to look at is found in 1 John chapter 5, and it really tells us why we're doing all this, or at least it gives one of the big reasons. Clearly, we talked about this in class this morning. Our motivation needs to be love for God and love for Christ. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, he says this. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the life, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. How does that jive sometimes with our comments that everybody's just okay? It doesn't matter if they're Christians or not, they're still okay as long as they're trying to do the right thing. God had the Apostle John, whom referred to himself as the one whom Christ loved. He had the Apostle John say that the one who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. We need to have that fundamental within us and love people enough to be able to pass that on. But then verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And the greatest gift we could possibly have, if not the greatest gift, is eternal life. God's given that to us, and He's given it to us in such a fashion that we can know that we have it. We do start with the fundamentals, and we do start with the basics. We can't start without those things. But then we use them as building blocks, not just having a pretty foundation. We have the most beautiful foundation of all, do we not? Jesus Christ. But building then our spiritual house upon that so that we can take hold of the eternal life that God has so freely offered us. We're going to be saved because of the grace of God and because of the sacrifice of Christ. But we are also told that we have our part to do. Our part's not the reason for salvation, but our part is one of the basic fundamentals of what God has set before us as far as being able to accept and to take hold of eternal life. And so I guess the encouragement today is to continue, first of all, with the basics, but then to get past those and to live the life that God has called you to live. It's a good life if we'll just do that. The invitation is offered this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we'd love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation or we can help in any way, won't you come and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.